This is the bottom. We have Aaron Rodgers, and we can't even beat Drake May and Jacoby Brissett? Are you kidding me? Sell the team, Woody. I'm sick of this shit. Absolute nonsense. They should be ashamed of themselves. Absolute ashamed. Losing to the worst team in football. The Patriots suck, and we're just as bad. This is nonsense. I'm sick. People are worrying, Richie, why are you not excited about this game coming up? Where's your energy? Because I don't see anything to be optimistic about anymore. I don't see anything. All I see is players on a roster. I don't see a team. This is we are a joke and a laughingstock. Officially, man, there's no more excuses. The reality is the reality. There's no more spinning optimism. We are a dysfunctional mess.
So that is Richie Malura, YouTuber, Bleacher Report, covers the Jets, chats. The best part of that video, awesome. We play the audio. That's a Jets fan ranting and being upset. The best part of the video for me is that he's wearing a Davante Adams jersey. That's the best part. Like, oh, brand new jersey. Let's go. New era. Rodgers, man. What's it going to be this week on the McAfee Show? Whose fault is it this week?
He's got no one left to fire.
Can't be his fault.
What's the next lever?
They are winless since firing Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
No new coach bump there.
No. They're going to fire the GM, aren't they?
Yes.
Like now? I don't think that does anything mid-season other than just that's something to do. I guess there's nothing else to do. Just sit there and lose to New England?
New England.
Holy cow. Unless they, like, could they bring in an outside coach midseason? Like, then the guy's the interim. They could change who the interim is.
Yeah.
Bring Vrabel in something. I don't know.
At the risk of explaining a meme I saw, I still think it's worth it. Any old meme where two people are shaking hands like, nice to meet you. And on the one it said, Jets, highest expectations in 25 years. And the other said, Patriots, lowest expectations in 25 years, and the handshake said 2-6.
That's awesome.
That is pretty good.
That is elite. That's an elite meme.
Absolutely great. So, hey, we're having fun at the Jets' expense. We're talking about the Bills and their win over the Seahawks.
They played the Seahawks.
Yeah, 31-10.
You want a quick let's get stupid on the Jets?
Yeah, why not?
Ready, Josh? Let's get stupid on the Jets.
I'm ready. It's not going to be trade Davante Adams.
Not trade Aaron Rodgers. It's not. No, none of this.
Okay.
This is actually courtesy of Brandon on Twitter, who has a hypothetical where the Jets lose on Thursday night and Rodgers just calls it.
Retires?
He retires. I don't want to say it's impossible. Maybe it's impossible he would do it this week. Could he retire before the end of the year?
No.
No? There's no way? He's 40. He's what? He's going to sign up to play on this team again next year?
He cares too much what people think about him to retire.
Mm. Yeah, but he'll be the guy's like, I don't know. He pretends like he doesn't care what people think, even though he very much does.
Oh, very, very, very much so, yes.
Wouldn't that be the move? Like, oh, guys, I actually don't care what you think about me while I retire here because we're 2-9. Rodgers pulls Avante Davis. He retires at halftime against the Texans on Thursday night.
All right, it's possible.
It'd be so funny.
803-0550, our phone number, if you want to join us on Bills and Seahawks. Also, Commanders and Bears, the Hail Mary. It's 9 a.m. Monday after the game, and I'm prepared to tell you that no video has been shown more on ESPN network's history than this Hail Mary.
Yeah.
This is the number one video that's ever been aired on television.
I think it's cleared Diggs' thing on the sidelines against the Bengals because they showed that every day for
this
2 years.
This network is now the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary network.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Non-stop.
You know, the Bears really should be thankful that they lost by a Hail Mary instead of giving the football to their guard who fumbled it at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, it's a questionable decision.
Because that kind of covered up that very questionable decision.
Caleb Williams, 10 of 24 for 131. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 38, 326.
Yeah, they scored a bunch of field goals again.
Yep.
They kept driving into Bears territory, kicked field goals, didn't punch it in until the Hail Mary. How about the play before the Hail Mary? The Bears just give it, sure, take Hail Mary range.
Listen, that's the McDermott conversation. The play before, you give them Hail Mary range, and then you want them to defend the Hail Mary. They rushed three, I think, and they had a spy.
Yeah.
Interesting choice to have a spy.
That's the thing about it. Like, if you're going to do two things, you can't do three things. Do two things. You want one guy committed to each sideline and then everybody else in the end zone. What is the point of a spy? The Bills did that too, didn't they?
Yep.
The Bills did that and the Bears did that. The Bears chose not to defend the sidelines. They were covering the end zone. The Bills tried to do it all. But why is anything dedicated to a spy? The middle of the field would be gladly accepted. Go ahead, run up the middle of the field.
Yep.
Take your 50 yards. The game's over. If you do that.
The one thing that's tough with a quarterback like Daniels, if you commit four to rush or even five to rush, there really isn't a guarantee you're going to get to him. That's the biggest issue I had with the Bills when it came to Aaron Rodgers. He hit the Hail Mary against him at halftime. Rodgers not getting away from you if you get close.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is much like Kyler Murray when Kyler Murray hit the Hail Mary against the Bills. What did he do? He escaped.
Yeah, he runs.
They were close. So with a mobile quarterback, it presents a little bit of a tougher challenge. And this was the longest Hail Mary ever in terms of length of play?
Man, it was. I think Rodgers had the one against Detroit and Green Bay that went for like 70 yards. But this
I don't mean distance. I mean time.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
a 14-second play.
That is. I think Next Gen Stats had it. 12.9 seconds is the longest amount of time on a touchdown throw ever.
Okay.
That they've ever tried.
So it was the longest play of all time.
Yeah.
In terms of duration. So what are you supposed to do? I don't know.
Well,
maybe you go dime. You go dime, and you just get as many fast guys out there as possible, and not even dime. What's past
not,
dime?
Not to compare this.
We
to
10 defensive backs.
Not to compare this to video games. I know that's hairy, but what do you do in college football? What do you do in Madden when you're at the end of a game in that situation?
You blitz a corner.
Okay. See, what I do is I do prevent but man coverage. I've got three guys all the way back, and everybody else is one on one. So guess what? What's going to happen? If they all run to the end zone, your guy's going to run to the end zone. You're still going to end up with eight people back there.
But that's not the problem, because that's a lucky bounce. Washington wins on a lucky bounce. The play is not defended poorly.
Well, except for the guy that was taunting the crowd. He's coming in late and tips the ball in the air.
Even him. He's like a punchline today because he was taunting the crowd.
But isn't he tip it up in the air because he's late to get there? Because he was taunting?
No, I don't think so.
He's the one who does it.
I don't think so. He's not late. He's on time. He just doesn't make the play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he swats it instead of just puts his hand up, it's tough. 803-0550. All right, on the Bills and their prospects. Amari Cooper, I have a text somebody worried about Amari Cooper being injured. I don't know. He played and then he came out after the...
Did you see what he got hurt on?
Was it a shoulder?
He never came out, though. Yeah, he got blasted in the shoulder on like a... It looked like a pick play.
Okay.
And the safety ran through him. But then he got right back up and looked okay. Like, he kind of stretched his arm out. So
he played 50% of the snaps and came off the field when Trubisky went in.
Trubisky played 7 snaps and Cooper played half. So he probably played about, what, like 60% of what he would have been asked to?
Yeah.
So... I'm not worried. I'm looking like to see like did he make an impact? How did they cover him? I'm not really worried at all about his involvement in the offense. There's going to be games like that probably.
Yep.
Right? Like he's a great player, but the Bills have two other receivers right now that look really good. And that was the thing always about Cooper for me was Cooper slots in at the top. When Coleman and Shakir are your top receivers, I feel like it's harder for them to get open. Like Coleman seeing one-on-one coverage a lot yesterday, I wonder how easy that would have been for him if Cooper's not on the other side of the field. How easy would it have been for Shakir to get open over the middle of the field if they didn't have to respect the Bills' weapons on the boundary. So we'll see when film breakdowns start kind of rolling in here about this game. But yeah, I'm not worried about Cooper in the slightest. He's going to make an impact on this team a lot.
803-0550. Let's catch up on some calls. Eric on his cell phone as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Eric. Good morning.
Hey, guys. I'm new to your show, and I love you guys. You guys do a great job.
Well, thanks for being a part of it.
I just want to... one observation I had was that nobody mentioned. After Coleman caught that ball in the end zone... over Wolin, he patted him on the helmet. I'm shocked I didn't call a taunting penalty on that.
Yeah.
I don't think that was taunting, though. I feel he was giving Wolin respect, wasn't he?
I think he might have been, but that's the kind of thing that still could be called for taunting. You pat a player on the head.
Yeah.
Like you would have been. Anything directed at the opposing player, I feel like a butt tap would not be flagged, but a head tap could.
I don't know. So wasn't he just saying there like a good battle man?
Maybe.
I would have been heated, I think, if they called that. I feel like maybe I'm wrong. I thought they were giving respect to each other after that. Although the rest of the game might not imply that that was the case, because the rest of the game, those two were going at it a lot. And they were trash talking, and then the bench play, right? Yeah, Coleman, yeah, I'm watching it again. I don't know. I would have not never called that. I would have never called that. Gino got called for taunting.
When did he taunt?
He threw the ball at a dude's head. You see that?
I must have missed that.
It was very soft. He got a little bit of contact on the sidelines by Taron Johnson, and Gino looked around for a call. This is after, by the way, like, he looked like he was unraveling a little bit. He was upset. They showed him yelling at the coordinator. They showed him, I think, what it looked like crying on the sidelines. And then he comes back out. He gets touched on the sideline by Taron Johnson. Looks around. No flag. He threw the ball at Dwan Smoot's head. Just because he was like, the dude was unraveling, and he got a 15-yard penalty. So, yeah, Gino got called for taunting there. He had a weird day. He looked like he was
overmatched. That's it.
But, like, he lost it.
He was overmatched. He didn't have Metcalf. He really needed Metcalf.
Yeah.
Like, really. Metcalf is a big, big part of that offense. He's their most important weapon, probably, right? If you could have picked one Seahawk player to miss the game other than Geno Smith, you would have picked Metcalf, right?
Yes. 100%.
Not Kenneth Walker, not JSN.
It would have been Metcalf.
By a mile, Metcalf. I think you missed him a lot. Jerry and Kenmore. What's up, Jerry? Good morning.
Could you imagine a month ago we were rooting for the Jets on Thursday?
Ooh, that's a good question.
We're rooting for the Jets?
Oh, I think you're making a good point here. Yes. It's going to be really hard, though, because
right.
I so enjoy watching them lose. But I think you're right, yeah. Houston's got two losses.
Hey, I do have a nickname for Benford, and it's really, really old school. It's his initials are CB. How about Breaker Breaker?
All right.
What's the reference? Breaker, breaker?
CB. You're talking on a CB. Joe doesn't know what a CB is.
Oh, Joe doesn't. That won't
work. A CB, then. Like a cornerback?
A CB radio.
Yeah, a CB.
So when old people watch television shows, the truck drivers and all that talked on CB radio
with the cord and you got like a little microphone
over.
At the end of it.
Yeah, hey, over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
I just needed a refresher. I know what a CB radio is.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I mean, when's the last time you've even heard a CB radio referenced? When's the last time you've seen a CB radio?
The truck horror movie Joyride.
I don't know what that is.
You never seen Joyride?
Joyride is a truck horror movie?
I think it's called Joyride. Yeah.
I would love to see a trailer for this.
There's Smokey and the Bandit, too. That's a big one.
Is it Joyride? What's it called? Yeah, 1997.
A 97 horror movie called Joyride. What is it, a runaway truck?
No, that's not it.
It's On the Loose. Yeah, because what I got here is a movie with Paul Walker in
it. That's the one. That's Joyride.
This is the one?
Yep.
All right.
Horror movie.
Is it a good horror movie?
I don't know. Not really.
That's not a ringing endorsement. You're not making me want to try this out.
I mean, what are you looking for? You're looking for
I want to be scared.
You want to win an Oscar? Or just like, hey, kind of freaky, weird, this concept?
Yeah, you want freaky and weird.
Most horror movies
let's
scare people this way.
Yeah, no, I'm not then looking for, film quality when I want to go to horror movies.
This one won't invade your soul, I don't think, like some horror movies might.
Well, I do think the new It movies deserve.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Some respect in that regard.
All right. We'll talk horror movies later in the week.
Halloween on Thursday.
Yeah.
Hockey Halloween went well, huh?
It was great. A lot of costumes at the Sabres game.
Yep. Wearing black and red on the Halloween theme night was perfect, I think.
I'm telling you. The attitude that they lean into from a presentation standpoint at the arena, the attitude they lean into when they wear their black and red, you need to bottle that and put it, if they could bottle it and sprinkle it over every single thing the organization does, that's how good their presentation is when they wear black and red.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not think it's just nostalgia because there are new elements to it, but leaning into the evil, edgy Buffalo with the red eye, man, they do a great job with it.
It's getting more and more.
It's getting harder and
harder to ignore. Like, it's like, oh, funny coincidence. Look at their record with black and red. They continue to be way better in black and red for 3 straight years now. Their record is substantially better. I had the numbers on this in the summer. It's like, are we sure this is still just a coincidence?
I don't think it's a coincidence.
They've talked about being more confident when they wear the black and red, it's stupid, but it might be right.
I shouldn't say all. A lot of them want to switch to it and would prefer it full time. Which, you know, should that matter? Doesn't have to matter to you or me. Or anybody for that matter, but Mike on a cell phone on a Victory Monday. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Watching the games yesterday and then just watching over the years, I am just appalled at how stupid some of these coaches are. You know, you guys were talking about the play before the Hail Mary, and it's like, oh, my God, you've got no timeouts. You got 7 seconds left. They can't throw a Hail Mary from where they are. But, oh, let's just give them 15 yards and so they can go out of bounds and throw the Hail Mary with 2 seconds. Did you watch the Titans game yesterday? It's just before halftime. They're losing 35-14, okay? Mason Rudolph, one of the worst quarterbacks in football, is your quarterback. They've got the ball first and goal at the 1-yard line. What do they do? They pass the ball 4 straight times. I mean, my God, they had a chance to get back to 35-21, but instead Callahan, who's supposed to be this offensive genius, throws the ball 4 times. Now, if you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, maybe, but Mason Rudolph, who's already had 2 interceptions in the game, and you're going to let him throw the ball? It's just, you know, the 13 seconds game we go back to, it just – amazes me that so many of these guys, maybe it's because they're football guys and not really smart people, they keep making these poor decisions that make no sense, and they're getting paid millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, I think they're smart. They just might not, in all cases, know optimization of usage. I'm trying to think, like, did they have any timeouts? Is that why they did it first? First and goal at the 1, incomplete, incomplete. Incomplete, and then 4th and goal at the 1, incomplete. Was it because they had no timeouts? And there's 33 seconds left. And if you run it once and get stopped, then you have no timeouts. You're, what, clocking the ball and giving yourself 3rd down? Like, it's not, I don't think it's crazy to think you can pass the ball for 1 yard, even with Mason Rudolph, who did run the ball in earlier in the game. He had a rushing touchdown earlier in the game. But I you know, and they ultimately lost by 38. So,
yeah,
you know, you I don't know what you're doing there. On the Hail Mary, you know, there's a point to be made here where why did they give up that 14-yard gain for free? Because they knew they couldn't give up 32 over the middle.
Yeah.
Because then they could have kicked a field goal to tie. So
right.
The Bears were playing, we will give you a Hail Mary, which should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy. He put out some numbers going back to 2000 that – the numbers, like the likelihood of success of a Hail Mary with a 4-man rush and a 3-man rush. I didn't see what a 2-man rush gotcha. But this is something that teams should know and look into. We talk about the 4th downs, right? Yeah. So, all right, here you go. With a 3-man rush, since 2005, Hail Marys with a 3-man rush have produced 3 touchdowns. 5-for-18 on completion. So, 18 Hail Marys... a 16% touchdown rate with a 3-man rush. With a four-man rush, that drops to 14%. So Hail Marys do get hit for the same reason that a shot from the point in hockey sometimes goes through. By the way, look at the way the Sabres won the game against the Red Wings. We can give them a bunch of credit for how they played, how they win. Bo Byram took a shot that went off the goalie off a leg and in.
Yeah.
The Sabres have a ton of resolve all of a sudden. They got lucky. They got a bounce. Bounces happen. And if you're giving up the Hail Mary, you're, as a defensive coach, whether you're McDermott or whoever, you're saying, I will take my chances with you maybe getting a bounce. I've got guys down there that can knock it down, but you're hoping for a bounce. And they got their bounce. So I don't think it's whatever. It's the you'd like to see it. You'd like to see it not go on against your team, which the Bills already had one this year. Hopefully, what are they going to do differently? Put Keon Coleman back there. That is my best plan.
They talked about that.
That's what the Bills should do.
McDermott said that. Yeah.
The Bills should put Keon Coleman back there for a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. That's what they should do.
They put, was this last game? It was after the Jet Hail Mary. When would they have done this? Mac Hollins was back there. I don't remember when it was. End of the half, last week, maybe. But there's a Hail Mary situation, or like a potential Hail Mary situation, where they put Mac Hollins back there. So they're flirting with that.
Mac Hollins made a good play.
Spencer Brown's the tallest player in the team, I'm just saying. He was out there on field goal block yesterday. I didn't know if that was new, or if they were just trying that out for size. That is something where it feels like a smart thing, and I guarantee you if he ever got hurt doing that, they would get blasted for it.
Right.
Your right tackle was doing what? He got hurt on field goal block? But
you can give us a call. We've got a dog of the day and a Sabres-Panthers preview. I mean, are we calling it a big game tonight?
I did have the numbers on this. I found them from before the season. We were talking about the black and red uniforms, how they play better than them.
Yeah.
Three seasons. Wearing blue and gold. This is updated.
You got point percentage? What are we going for here?
Yeah, 82-game point pace. Wearing the different colors.
Okay.
Wearing blue and gold in the last three seasons, the Sabres are an 82-point team. Wearing black and red in the last three seasons, the Sabres are a 116-point team.
Is it at all skewed, and the answer to this is already a yes, they always wear black and red home?
Good point. Yes. But
they're not a good,
say,
but they're not a good home team.
There was a two-year stretch there where they were better on the road than they were
at home. I mean, all you got to do is pull their home record wearing blue and gold.
Their home record, I had done that too. Their home record wearing blue and gold is like ridiculously bad.
And their home record wearing black and red is really
bad. Yeah, they win on the road wearing blue and gold. They wear at home wearing black and red.
Well, there's the formula. Let's do it.
Never wear blue and gold at home.
I'm telling you the
It keeps both uniforms involved, right? You wear blue and gold on the road. You wear black and red at home.
I wore my black and red jersey on Saturday to the game, afternoon game against the
Connolly
Red Wings. Connolly jersey, number 18, the original. The arena was packed because they had kids in there for trick-or-treating. There were 12,000 people in the arena by noon for a 1 o'clock game. It was a scene. It was a fun time. The biggest question I had coming out of the game is why I had forgotten I had done this. Why on earth I bought a double XL jersey when I got that Connolly jersey? It looks like I'm wearing... What?
Do you feel like you have to wear a hoodie underneath it just to make it look like it fits?
I need five hoodies underneath it.
Yeah,
I have no idea what I ever would have done that, a double XL.
Jerseys run big usually anyway.
Yeah, right.
Like a medium jersey fine.
I would get a medium, and I have a double XL black and red goat head for Connolly. All right, we'll get a break in. We'll get the dog of the day. We'll get more of your phone calls. We're celebrating a victory Monday. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I'm also going to request one more Jets rant. One more, at least. Maybe tomorrow will be all Jets reaction.
One per day.
If we can find someone complaining about the Jets.
Jets rant of the day could be a new recurring segment.
I don't hate it.
Allen fires down the left side, complete to Coleman, who's upended, but he's got it at the 16-yard line, and another first down as he has taken Josh Jobe to school today.